The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome back. Friday, February 28th, 2020. I am Seth Leibson as we head into hour two of our three-hour tour. Just a moment, we're going to have with us Benjamin Weingarten, and I am delighted to host him because he is not only the author of this brand spanking new book on Ilhan Omar, he's a great author at and writer at The Federalist, where he is also a senior contributor. You know the quality of his work by that very biographical statement. And in his new book on Ilhan Omar, introduction by Andrew McCarthy, endorsements from everyone from Newt Gingrich to Scott Johnson over at the Powerline blog, all our friends. Benjamin Weingarten, thanks for joining us. Congratulations on your new book.
Well, Seth, thanks for that kind introduction, and thanks so much for having me.
I really appreciate it. Benjamin, when did you first – I want to ask you about your book, American Ingrate. I should give it the proper title, American Ingrate, Ilhan Omar, the Progressive Islamist Takeover of the Democratic Party. Just came out about a week ago. When did you first start thinking about this? When did she come to your attention?
Well, you know, I had kind of wanted to avoid touching on Ilhan Omar, quite frankly, for a long time, although for a while I'd been working out a thesis in my mind that the squad which Nancy Pelosi tried to marginalize and sort of ignore as four people actually was representative of the energy, the sort of animating factor in the Democratic Party and its progressive wing. And I thought that their progressive wing would be ascendant, if not already was ascendant. But what brought Omar to my attention was actually at one point during this seemingly never-ending cycle of fear-mongering over foreign interference and collusion. And I should say that there are legitimate issues with foreign interference and collusion within the U.S. government. Mm-hmm. And what interested me was the fact that here we had a picture from 2017 of Ilhan Omar having a meeting, then a state representative from Minnesota, yeah, having a meeting with Turkish President Erdogan. Mm-hmm. And that struck me as bizarre, because why would a head of state from a purported NATO ally be speaking with effectively a marginal political figure?
Correct.
And that started me down the road of unraveling Ilhan Omar's ties with several adversarial regimes, or at least elements in those regimes, as well as domestic groups, Islamist groups, some of them terror-tied as well, and started to build a mosaic mentally and then down on paper as to these ties. And what I've found, and as I argue in the book, is that her anti-Semitic rhetoric, her radical policies, as I've described them, socialism at home and surrender abroad, really provide a mask in some ways for the substantive challenges, the dangers really that she poses as a member of the House Foreign Affairs Committee, who's risen substantially in power in just a single term in Washington, D.C., in spite of all of these very disturbing ties to very nefarious anti-American figures.
What's interesting to me is that to listen to her doesn't do anything to disguise those ties. It's almost as if, I mean, I have so many strong thoughts on this, but I think I've seen her kind before. She's never really been told no. She has moved through a system that keeps lapping praise and praise and elevation upon her, which has empowered her to not even try and really disguise her statements, to kind of even mask, if you will, the ties that you relate, that you are relating to us, the ties that you write about in your book. I mean, it's very clear the thing that stands out to me, I will tell you, the thing that I was awoken to her efforts a long time ago, but the thing that stands out to me that she said that is the worst thing, and it's not the some people did something on 9/11 quote, It's that interview she did on the public affairs station in Minnesota, mm-hmm. where she talked, you know the interview I'm talking about, where she said, when are we going to decide or realize that terrorism is a reaction to our actions? It's that it's not just a blame America first proposition. A lot of people have that in a much more innocent sense, but really the refusal to condemn terrorism and to blame the United States, that's new. That's different.
Yeah, and as I write in the book, you can draw some very disturbing parallels between that sort of rhetoric of the blowback theory yeah. of jihadism
right.
with any number of notorious terrorists out there when they've spoken and tried to justify, oftentimes in Islamic terms, their what they would call legitimate jihadist acts
right.
As opposed to illegitimate.
There you go. That's it. Go with that. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Yeah.
So it is incredibly disturbing to have someone in Congress who echoes literally, and I have the passages in the book, the sort of rhetoric that an Osama bin Laden
yeah.
would parrot, who surrounds herself with any number of individuals who also subscribe to or at least pander regarding this idea of blowback, that America really is the root cause of all the world's sins. And she goes so far as to even ascribe, you know, massive refugee crises, terrorism itself, and any number of other maladies around the world to basically the U.S. being a dominant power in energy, thus contributing to global warming,
sure.
just thus contributing to every other problem
sure.
under the sun.
Sure.
And again, you know, it would be one thing if this was a completely marginal political figure, nevertheless scary.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact of the matter is, as you know it, she has been able to act with total impunity because
right.
she has been empowered
That's
at every
right.
single level. And today, she sits as the co-chair of Bernie Sanders' campaign in Minnesota, which is to say, she's the co-chair of the campaign of the Democratic frontrunner in a pivotal 2020 state in America's heartland. And that is proof positive that she has paid no price. And if anything, she's fared upward. She's been rewarded for her radicalism.
We're talking to Benjamin Weingarten, his brand new book, American Ingrate, Ilhan Omar and the Progressive Islamist Takeover of the Democratic Party. It's easy for people to dismiss, oh, it's just one member of Congress. But when you add it up, as you say, Benjamin, you're right. She is not only the co-chair of his campaign, she's an outward advocate for his campaign. You know, she stumps for him. She campaigns for him. He's the leading contender in the Democratic Party. Beyond Bernie Sanders, she seems to have been able to is hoodwink the right word? Is to immunize herself from any criticism from even more established figures in the Democratic Party. You will not hear denunciations of her or criticisms of her from, say, the likes of the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi. Indeed, Nancy Pelosi will defend her, saying such how did she put it? She uses language differently, something like that. She makes apologies for the way Ilhan Omar talks about America rather than scolds her.
Yeah, and I mean, Ilhan Omar's excuses for her rhetoric are pretty laughable. She talks about...
She's extremely articulate. I mean, let's give her that. I mean, right? I mean, she is actually... Her problem is not the English language. She uses it better than most.
She does, at least when she's on script.
Yeah.
When she's pushed off script, I do think she is exposed a little bit more.
Okay.
But I will say, she is incredibly politically shrewd, which I think
yeah.
adds to her danger. And I say that because... Most people won't know this. I went into the district in doing research for this book and spoke to the 44-year incumbent state representative who was considered a Minnesota icon, a feminist icon in that very progressive district, who Ilhan Omar toppled in a primary to win that seat.
Right.
To take on someone like that as, you know, what would be considered a neophyte, a very young figure, community organizer, is a pretty remarkable thing. In and of itself, what I will say is you're absolutely right. And in the book, I detail sort of the numerous events and the timeline of the periods in which Speaker Pelosi was forced to back down
mm-hmm.
in any number of issues.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact, look, at the highest level, if you want to look at what is the impact of the squad beyond the fact that the Democratic presidential field has been pulled further leftward on every single issue than any field has ever been in the history of the Democratic Party. The other thing to look at is impeachment.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that Nancy Pelosi and also establishment figures like Elliot Engel and Jerry Nadler, and probably even to some degree Adam Schiff, but maybe not him, would ever have been pushed towards an impeachment that they knew might be very politically disastrous for
them?
I
do not. I do not. Yeah. No, I don't. I agree with you. I think they purchased something they didn't want to buy and felt they had to sell it or try to.
They fear getting primaried, right. Just like AOC primaried Joe Crowley.
Right. So basically she and the squad are in charge. Can you stay another segment? I have so many more questions for you, and it's such an important book. Do you have time for one more segment, Benjamin?
Love to.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. We're talking to Benjamin Weingarten, he of The Federalist, but more importantly for our present purposes, the author of the brand spanking new book, American Ingrate, Ilhan Omar and the Progressive Islamist Takeover of the Democratic Party. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. It's a delight to have with us Benjamin Weingarten. He is a senior editor at The Federalist. He is the author of a brand spanking new book, American Ingrate, Ilhan Omar and the Progressive Islamist Takeover of the Democratic Party. You want this book, folks. It's Amazon listed as number 5 in books on national security. Benjamin, speaking of Ilhan Omar and her take and her pull, I should say, within the Democratic Party, within the media and maybe the culture, American culture generally, she's exceedingly prominent. I don't know. There's 435 congresspeople, probably 5 of whom most Americans or the plurality of Americans who could identify congressmen, they could identify her because she is so prominently outspoken. At the same time, she is one of the least examined members of Congress with one of the most troubling of backgrounds. She's examined by you. She's examined by Scott Johnson. She's examined by one or two other independent journalists. Her hometown newspaper and the National Political Reporters, not so much. Do they actually believe her, do you think, when she, you know, blames all the criticism of her and her background as the work of Zionists or the work of right wing racists and bigots? Do they believe her, or do you think they really do know what you and Scott Johnson say no, but are afraid to report on her because of charges of Islamophobia?
I think you look at the facts, and American Ingrate had 1,200 endnotes precisely because I wanted to avoid anyone being able to make any charge right. that what I was asserting was opinion rather than fact. Right. And if it was opinion, very well-backed opinion. Mm-hmm. I think the fact of the matter is that the lack of coverage of her speaks for itself in terms of really what is a combination of, and really this goes for those in Congress as well, it's both a cynical act and a craven act. It's cynical in that I think that, look, she represents sort of anti-American radical chic.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's stylish. Yeah. She is the perfect face for the intersectional, identity politics-focused, multiculturalist milieu. Mm-hmm. A refugee, I mean, she checks off every box,
you bet.
If you are looking at the hierarchy of grievance and oppression,
right.
Even though she has all this power,
right.
Incidentally.
Right.
So I think part of it is, you know, she's the perfect political representative for them, and they really have no incentive to do any kind of real journalism. And then the craven part is, to your point, the fears of being called Islamophobic. And what I've said from the start is, look, first of all, the biggest whistleblowers when it comes to Ilhan Omar's background are patriotic Somali Muslim immigrant Americans.
Yep.
That's number one.
Yep.
Number two, for me personally, I've written at length about the horrors of the Chinese Communist Party's actions with respect to the Uyghurs.
Right.
And number three, and most importantly, and this is something that people like Ilhan Omar are never challenged with, it would be Islamophobic not to hold her to the same standards of scrutiny as everyone else.
Right.
We should not treat her any differently because of these identity traits that she uses as a shield and then turns into a weapon to attack anyone who would dare scrutinize her. Actually, she should be treated just like every other American. And that's part of the reason why I wrote this book, because we have to stop acting in fear and we have to start scrutinizing everyone equally.
Literally, it would be Islamophobia to treat her differently by a separate standard, to treat her with kid gloves. That would literally be Islamophobia.
Correct.
Let me ask you this, because the second part of your book, the progressive, or the second part of the title of your book, Progressive Islamist Takeover, what is intellectually or philosophically fascinating to me, and is the point of such as herself, Rashida Tlaib, maybe you could add Presley and AOC to that as well, the views they espouse and the countries they condemn and praise, there's a real mismatch here. She could not, Ilhan Omar could not, as AOC could not, espouse the views that they hold on social policy at any college or high school in the West Bank or Gaza or perhaps anywhere, perhaps throughout the Middle East, outside of the country Israel itself, yet no country gets more condemnation from them. Can you square that for me in the progressive Islamist mindset?
Yeah, and I'd go even further to say that Ilhan Omar has alienated her own Somali constituency, even in the U.S., on any number of these issues.
Okay.
In her district, I would say that her core support now is, to use sort of a colloquial phrase, the white woke elite. That is her core constituency now.
Okay.
Not to say she won't get Somali votes, but it is clearly the upper crust elites, the progressive elites, who have gone much further on any number of these issues, oftentimes than the minorities that they claim to champion. In terms of sort of circling this square,
yeah.
In the book I go in great depth into, we talk a lot about Ilhan Omar's anti-Semitic rhetoric and its anti-Semitism masquerading as anti-Zionism,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and how that Jew hatred has been, it predominated in the Islamic world from almost the advent of the religion,
mm-hmm.
and has predominated among leftists really since socialism was founded in the early 19th century, oftentimes most shamefully and sadly among people who were at least born Jews. In some sense, sort of like Bernie Sanders, in that he equates his Judaism with leftism. And so what I...
Oops, did we lose him? On a landline too, we lost him. Well, that's... we're back. Go ahead.
Yeah, the Islamists and the progressives both have totalitarian belief systems that are expansionist. They cannot brook dissent, and they cannot permit a live and let live pluralism,
mm-hmm.
of the kind that we celebrate and have enjoyed to this point largely in the West. So essentially they are able to set aside their differences in certain narrow areas, some less narrow than others, because the real stumbling block for both of them is Judeo-Christian Western civilization. And that's why I make the point in the book that Jew hatred, while of course in Omar's case is directed at Jews qua Jews, it is also really about all of us at the end of the day.
Yep.
Jews are a stand-in and a proxy for Western civilization. And you see it here just as you see it in terms of Corbynization.
Yep.
Just as if you go back, you saw it in terms of the Soviet Union with its anti-Semitism, but which it sort of linked to anti-Americanism, yep. and calling Americans imperialists, colonialists, occupiers. And I go through that whole history in the book and link it to the present. So there are elements of the book that are more reportage and analysis of Ilhan Omar's ties and connections and rhetoric and agenda and even her background that haven't been explored. But then there's also the deeper philosophical points about what her viewpoints represent.
Benjamin, you've been generous with your time. Benjamin Weingarten, author of American Ingrate. I have to let you go, but my audience won't let me let you go without asking you for a one-word answer to the following question. One word. Did she marry her brother?
Yes.
Benjamin Weingarten, I hope this is a down payment. We'll have you on again and often. Congratulations on your book, American Ingrate, Ilhan Omar and the Progressive Islamist Takeover of the Democratic Party. Really well done, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Seth. Appreciate it.
You betcha. I'm Seth Leibson, 602-508-0960. We'll be right back.